The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning. Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. My name is Linda Weaver, and I am fortunate enough to be the president of our Board of Trustees here at Thomas Paine and a longstanding member. We are brave, curious, and compassionate thinkers and doers. We are diverse in faith, ethnicity, history, and spirituality, but aligned in our desire to make a difference for the good and to do good in the world. We stand on the side of love, justice, and peace. We welcome you, your whole self, with all your truths and your doubts, your worries, and your hopes. And with no further ado, we are going to start our service by lighting our chalice. You want to light the chalice and I'll do the words. Okay. And this obviously takes two people because I can't read and light a chalice at the same time. I can't multitask, so thank you. And this is from Kamala Harris. Being an ally can't just be about nodding when somebody says something we agree with. Important as that is, it must also be about action. Our job is to stand up for those who are not at the table when life-altering decisions are made. And now this part of our service, we light our peace lamp, and I will read the first line, and if you would respond with the second. May peace be with us, people of the world. Thank you. Now we are going to have our gathering hymn, and it is We Are Setting the Rainbow Table.
We are setting the rainbow table. We are planning a giant feast. We are birthing a new creation for the lonely, the lost and least. Find the around that table, growing wonder, growing peace. If you're worried, if you're struggling, there's abundance, there is release, there is welcome for everybody, every story, every soul. Doesn't matter where you have come from, you are cherished and you are known. Come and sit at the rainbow table, full of colors and bathed in light. Come and learn how the rainbow table offers grace to our rainbow life.
If you look in your order of service, now we have a moment for all ages, but it's a story for our children, but our children are away this weekend and they're camping and doing other things. So one of the great things about being a UU is we're very flexible. And so we're not gonna do the story, the moment for all ages, because our service will run a little bit long today. And so we're just going to skip right to the next thing in our service, which is, I'm going to introduce our main speaker today, Sheila Sangmeister, who's also serves on the board of TPUF. So the topic of our service today is the Trevor Project. Sheila Sangmeister has a personal interest in this organization as it touches her family on a deep and profound level. Sheila is a mother to a cishet 32-year-old son, a 30-year-old daughter who transitioned several years ago, and a 28-year-old non-binary adult. She became involved with this organization several years ago and will share her experience, musings, and call to action with you today. Sheila?
Thanks. Did that seem like a long wait? Did it fly by quickly for you? The Trevor Project estimates that at least one LGBTQ youth between the ages of 13 and 24 attempts suicide every 45 seconds in the United States. The opening song has taken on new meaning in my life, while not losing the innocence with which it was originally written and performed. Still, I like to believe that Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood were never indoctrinating, but were pioneers in using television to affirm and support children, focusing on emotional intelligence, basic ready-for-school skills, social awareness, and unconditional acceptance. Their strategies include addressing difficult topics honestly, promoting diversity, and validating feelings. Their foundational beliefs were the inherent dignity and worth of every child. They worked to create a sense of safety, unconditional acceptance for young viewers, all while delivering subtle messages in a gentle, caring, and authentic manner. These responsibilities are not lost, should be honored in all we do, and I have found basic to the organization called the Trevor Project. The Trevor Project is a world-leading organization for LGBTQ youth, focusing on crisis intervention and suicide prevention. They serve all LGBTQ plus youth, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning young people who are experiencing a range of issues, including suicidal thoughts, self-harm, depression, bullying, and other mental health crises. I volunteer with the Trevor Project, and after 6 months of training, worked another 9 months as a lifeline counselor, which is a role of direct voice contact over the phone lines. After my accident, I had to retire from my counseling role as I was no longer able to work a 3-hour focused shift. My oldest contact was 64 years old, and my youngest was 11 years of age. So those age limits may be flexible at times. We answer all calls. I won't be breaking confidentiality regarding that call from someone out of our demographic, but I was able to get a moment in our conversation after about 10 minutes when that young 11-year-old felt comfortable and safe, including their mom on the call. Together, the three of us spent about 40 minutes on the Lifeline chat. This young person then asked if they and both parents could call back later. I workshopped some local resources for family conversations for them and explained that should they reach out again, they may not get connected to me directly, but that our trained counselors were available at any time all year long. This young person blurted out, "Even on Christmas?" Which I confirmed, yes, anytime. We like to say 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I also explained that Trevor counselors will always ask the caller for their permission to include others on the call, even if it's an 11-year-old. Of course, every situation is different, and we must honor the caller and their expectation of privacy. Research from the Trevor Project shows that having accepting adults in their lives significantly lowers suicide attempt rates among LGBTQ youth. Trevor offers 24/7 live counselor communication through Lifeline, Trevor Chat, and Trevor Text. All three modes offer services for those in distress, along with a digital social media resources like Trevor Space. Additionally, they offer extensive public education to promote acceptance and support for LGBTQ youth. Founded in 1998, the organization provides these life-saving services and advocates for policies that protect those youth. Let's look at what they provide. We begin with crisis intervention. The Trevor Project provides immediate, free, and confidential support through its national crisis lifeline over the phone, Trevor Chat, and Trevor Text. Then there's the digital community. Trevor Space has a welcoming online social community for LGBTQ plus youth between the ages of 13 and 24 years. With over 700,000 members across the globe, you can find support groups and make friends in a moderated online safe space intentionally designed for them. Our third role is that of public education. The organization publishes research on the mental health of LGBTQ youth, educates the public on these issues, and provides free resources for youth-serving professionals, educators, coaches, counselors, administrators, medical staff, and allies to foster acceptance. Youth and youth-serving adults can contact us through about three different community workshops. The first one's called CARE. That's an interactive training program for youth-serving adults that focuses on suicide prevention for LGBTQ youth. Ally Training is a training program that provides a basic framework for understanding their identities and the unique challenges young people often face. And finally, Lifeguard. That's an interactive training program for an administrator or a coach or a parent or a student. The training teaches how to support LGBTQ youth and young people and help drive positive sports environments for all. They are in collaboration with athletic brands and organizations such as Puma and the NFL to promote mental health and inclusive practices in sports. Our final push is advocacy. The Trevor Project lobbies for policies at federal, state, and local levels that protect LGBTQ youth and reduce factors contributing to higher suicide rates. These are examples of our advocacy efforts on their behalf. Ending conversion therapy. We are the largest campaign in the country endeavoring to protect LGBTQ plus youth and young people from conversion therapy. And on their website, you can find access to the current data and reports on practitioners of so-called conversion therapy in the United States. We champion for the inclusive and privacy-protected collection of data at every level of government, which is essential for effective public health policy. Ending conversion therapy, we are the largest campaign in the country endeavoring to protect our youth from conversion therapy, and on their website, you can find access to current data and reports from practitioners. We champion for the inclusion and privacy protect, oh, that's a repeat. We work to ensure schools that have LGBTQ plus inclusive prevention policies, which is very difficult to do to get into schools. We can provide workshops and help develop materials to create, maintain, and defend board-sanctioned, district-adopted policies, and therefore implement safe and welcoming adult and student buildings and spaces. It's not just our students. There are professionals in those buildings also who might fall under this LGBTQ umbrella. Think about it. A simple single page with the Trevor phone number, links, or a QR code might read, "All are welcoming here. Reach out if you need us." That simple 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper may save a life. We support and recognize the challenges faced by trans and non-binary youth, so we actively promote policies that reduce suicide risk among that often targeted population. We work to ensure LGBTQ plus youth have access to crisis services and care when they need it, through legislation, litigation, and public education. The Trevor Project advocates for policies that help prevent suicide among LGBTQ plus young people. One of my calls was focused on getting a young trans college student here from Zimbabwe hormone replacement services and then transport to an out-of-state facility. The state they were in would not provide those resources where they attended college and no longer sanctioned HRT treatments. It was quite the conversation and a memorable achievement. I received a supervisor note that this contact had reached back out to Trevor to express their success and gratitude to their counselor. And finally, we are a leading resource for the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention and for the Obama White House initiative, StopBullying.gov.
Okay, at this, thank you, Sheila, and thank you for that information. At this point in our service, we're going to have a musical meditation. We belong to one another.
We belong to one another. to live in loving ways. As we grow, we need each other and the gifts that we can share. As our lives come to their ending, how we need each other's care. We give thanks for one another, for each heart and hand and face. We are grateful for the blessings that infuse our lives with grace. May we offer our abundance as we're given, may we give in our thanks for one another. May we help each other.
And now for the not so good news. Effective July 17th, 2025, the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifelines LGBTQ plus Youth Specialized Services Program has been shut down by the current administration's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. While the general 988 hotline remains open to all, callers can no longer press 3 to receive specialized support from an LGBTQ plus affirming provider, the Trevor Project. This data provided by SAMHSA, S-A-M-H-S-A, demonstrates the total number of contacts from July 2022 to July 2025. These federal cuts obliterated a literal, actual, real-time lifeline, removing a vital specialized resource that has provided crisis services to an estimated 1.5 million LGBTQ plus youth since 2022. The loss of this program will be devastating for those youth. They are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide compared to their peers, and the 988 Lifeline's specialized services for veterans and for other LGBTQ plus youth were specifically created because these communities are at a disproportionately higher risk of suicide. These services are based on risk levels, not identities. It's clinical best practice to connect these groups with counselors who understand their unique needs. LGBTQ plus youth need to speak with counselors who understand their identities, the coming out process, and the new unique challenges they often report experiencing because of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or both. By not continuing to allow direct contact with highly trained counselors with specialized skills, this current administration is putting these young Americans and many other lives at risk. How do you think this decision will be remembered in the broader context of LGBTQ plus rights and youth mental health? Suicide prevention is about people, not politics. The reality that the federal government decided to end a lifeline that has served 1.5 million American youth at a time when they need it most will go down in history as an especially egregious, cruel, dangerous, and devastating attack on these vulnerable youth in this country. Despite this devastating federal decision, the Trevor Project's free and confidential crisis services remain fully operational and available 24/7 for any LGBTQ plus person who needs support. To understand the full impact of this shutdown, what the Trevor Project is doing, and how you can act, please listen to these questions posed to them about their support and recommendations. So what can we do right now to respond to this decision? There are several ways people can respond and act now. Let's keep the pressure on those who make the big decisions. Or perhaps you will choose to support through donations to the Trevor Project's Emergency Lifeline campaign for LGBTQ plus youth. But most importantly, these youth and young adults should know that the Trevor Project's highly trained counselors remain available 24/7, regardless of the 988 Lifeline's move. I believe it would be highly beneficial if these numbers and contact information were posted in public schools, counselor's office, places of worship, trains and bus stations, public libraries and restrooms and grocery stores, shops, fast food places, excuse me, anywhere we find youth gathering and enjoying time with friends. The loss of this program will be devastating for them. They're more likely to attempt suicide. And what about the risks of losing this program? I don't want to find out. I want to continue to advocate and push and be annoying, to speak to those in power and continue to care about the vulnerable, the chastised, the tortured, and targeted. As Mr. Rogers once said, the mentionable is manageable. Let's continue to mention and then work together to do more than manage, but to succeed and save lives. So there are four actions you can carry forward from the surface. Number one, consider signing the petition. And remember to urge your local, state, and federal representatives through postcards, phone calls, texts, or emails, and urge them to require Congress to act now and help us protect and restore this life-saving program by funding the sub-network and directing the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services to reinstate and provide the necessary funding for the 988 Youth Specialized Services LGBTQ plus sub-network moving forward. Some of these links are in the handout and also in your order of service. Please share your story and let your voices be heard. Whether you or someone you know has struggled with mental health, sharing those experiences can inspire others to speak up and to act. We talk about our eye surgery, our workouts for a bad back or a torn tendon or hip or knee, and even sometimes cosmetic surgery, our friends' dental work, or what vaccines we must still get. But mental health is hidden. We need to treat it as any other health issue. It is a brave moment when a child talks with a parent, a young adult, or anyone that stands up in front of friends or even in a sanctuary and says, "I'm struggling." Remember, sometimes challenges feel more manageable when shared with others. And if there's pushback from a friend or a family member, keep searching for someone who will listen. We are out here. Have conversations with the young people in your life. Ask them, where do you go when you need help, understanding, or guidance through a challenging time? What happens if you think Daddy or I am too busy to listen? Who else is available to help? Teachers, grandparents, a counselor? Even a best friend's parent can be a valuable resource. Here's a little secret. If you have a child who may be struggling with gender identity, one of the smartest plans is to gather allies, those who do not have skin in the game, and they become your allies as well, and there is strength in numbers. Imagine five adults, two parents, a teacher, a coach, and a neighbor, standing together at the microphone at a Board of Education meeting. And during the public forum, one person asks if students are told about the Trevor Project. Do all personnel know what that is? Sometimes your children talk more frequently with the lunch ladies or the custodial staff than they would do with any other adult. Ask if teachers have received training in creating a safe and inclusive environment. Are teachers, counselors, and administrators and all personnel, including lunch ladies, bus drivers, support staff, and custodians, aware of LGBTQ plus terminology? And have they participated in courses to help them reflect on self-biases while providing resources for an inclusive curriculum and inclusive safe space? Ask your children's principal or counselor if the school district is aware of the Trevor Project and is willing to share their crisis hotline number with students ages 13 to 24. A simple poster with a phone number or QR code in the counselor's office, on the back of a bathroom door, or in a community space can make a difference. You are parents and community members, and you have every right to go there, speak up, even if you no longer have children in the school system. Finally, number four, I've asked our tech team to scroll slowly through the next couple of slides. Perhaps you'll recognize some of these corporate entities. Consider supporting them through your online or in-person purchases. You can be a social media champion and LGBTQ plus ally. And for your information, we've also included those links on the presentation. Feel free to copy and paste and spread the word. Please remember to include information about the devastating cut in funding relating to the 988 LGBTQ plus youth specialized services shutdown, and remind everyone on your platform that the Trevor Project is still a safe space 24/7, 365, round the clock, all year long, even on Christmas. Perhaps you will mobilize your followers to stay informed, become allies, and advocate for change. Thank you.
Anybody, come up. That is true. As I said a couple weeks ago, if anyone is interested in joining the care team, feel free. Let us know. Let Andrew know. But for now, we'll just do matters of the heart. We bring our whole selves each and every week. This is one of our religious imperatives, that we bring the hurting, the celebrating, the joyous, and the heartache. We are called to be ourselves, as we've talked a lot about today. To be ourselves completely while also allowing others to be themselves completely. Each week, we take time to specifically recognize this part of our faith by sharing from deep within the joys and sorrows which come out and must be shared with our community. This is that time. If you are so moved, please come forward, introduce yourself, and speak briefly into the microphone. For those joining online, you may raise your physical or virtual hand and you will be unmuted to share.
We are going to bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing Spirit of Life, as we typically do. This version is presented by Jen Nicolosi, and she will sing it through twice. So if you'd like to listen once and then sing along with it, or you may sing two times if you would like, whatever you're interested in doing. And this will all show up on your screens in just a minute.
As we bring today's service to a close with the following closing words, I wanted to thank all of you for showing up and I missed an opportunity in the beginning because I see some new faces out in the crowd to welcome all of you, to encourage you to come back, because another great thing about being a UU, you know, and above, and you know, probably the most important thing is the people sitting out there. You're the reason I come back every week. But also we have a variety of services. And next week, I believe our minister will be in the pulpit. He's in here in the pulpit two services a month. Is that not true? Oh my gosh, that's right. Next week, the pets will be in the pulpit. So we will be having our annual pet blessing next week. I'll be organizing the service, and it will be conducted by some of our members here. For the first time in a long time, I won't be doing this service, but I will say that one of the joys of getting old is you learn that you've got to be flexible. And so when I committed to the date for this service, I thought everything was fine and we could do that. Until this week, I got a communication from Jill Zippin, who's the president of the DJOP, the Democratic Jewish Party of Pennsylvania. And she asked me how I wanted my name and Preston's name listed in the program for this coming Sunday. And I went, oh my gosh, that's the pet blessing. So fortunately we have people here who have are willing to step up and lead the pet service. So come next week, you're gonna see the cutest pets out there in a slideshow. And Mina, you'll see a picture of Mina. And you know, she's a little disappointed. She had a brand new vest she wanted to wear too. So you're just gonna have to see a picture of her. So with no further ado, I will deliver our closing words. These are words from James Baldwin. The longer I live, the more deeply I learn that love, whether we call it friendship or family or romance, and this is me saying this, not James Baldwin, or T-Puff, is the work of mirroring and magnifying each other's light. Gentle work, steadfast work, life-saving work in those moments when life and shame and sorrow occlude our own light from our view. But there is still a clear-eyed, loving person to beam it back. In our best moments, we are that person for one another.
Author and activist Elizabeth Gilbert writes, "To be fully seen by somebody and be loved anyhow, this is a human offering that can border on the miraculous." In my own words, as we open our minds and share our hearts, we may never know the effect we have on others while nourishing the center of our very being. Could it be that reaching out is a most pure and sacred form of selfishness? Thank you for your attention, time, and allyship in this important life-saving endeavor. Please don't give up. And then we'll do this and then the announcements, yeah. Right? Okay. So John's getting that ready.
How could